And so this morning let me back up. We were watching Olivia play soccer Saturday. And all these years of watching people live and play and work, and I'm at a new perspective now, not being a coach, and I'm still playing. I'm supposed to play soccer on Thursday with my little co-ed team. But we're going to try to do a sound check at the church and get our sound system tuned up. But now as a grandfather and then watching, and I really do try to keep my mouth shut. It's just a better deal usually. Yeah, and I've shared before, but it's like the gate on sheep. If you open it and let one out, they're all going to go. So better I just don't open the gate. But as I was watching, you know, I was just thinking, you know, we were watching several things, and we met with Jody's coaching and Seth, and we were talking about it afterwards, and some of the things that I just thought, I wonder why they do this, and then they find out she's been working all week long to get them to change something, and then game time comes, and they just do the same thing, or not do the same thing that they were being trained for. And I was just thinking about all that, and I was, I was kind of like, golly, you got to go for it. You can't. It's you know, it's not a place to be polite. And then you know, and I'm just like your mind. My mind's going all the time, and sometimes it doesn't have a very good compressor to slow it down. It's flooded. And I'm walking off, and I was just thinking, man, you know, this is the time in their life they can rise up and, you know, and learn and go for it. And they sometimes act like they just don't, like they're hardly there, you know. And then you find out afterwards that the reason they couldn't play very good because they weren't breathing. They're just so nervous and so, you know, afraid to make a mistake. After a while, they haven't got any air and et cetera. And I've been there, done that. And it's like, as I was walking off, the Lord just said, when did you leave the playing field? And I just got choked up. I said, what do you mean? He said, you know what I mean. He said, it's so easy to look at other people and judge them and tell them what to do and know what they ought to do and have all your so-called wisdom. But he said, when did you leave the playing field? And, of course, quickly I said, I haven't. And I still need coached. And I still need to be reminded of the same thing. I thought, how many times you're working with these people, these kids or anybody, and you just keep saying, you need to do this, you got to do this. And I can't tell you how many times I get up, whether I was playing racquetball or golf, and my thought was, keep your head down, do this, whatever else. And the moment I get up and swing, I don't do it. I mean, just within a half a second, I forgot what I was focusing on doing. And I thought, no wonder you and I still need coaches. We still need to be reminded. And we still need to breathe. And part of that breath is the Spirit of God. It is Pentecost Sunday, I just found out. And the word for spirit is breath. We need to keep breathing. And then we sang the song. I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing. What a powerful thing to have a choice to sing and to pray. Paul says, "I'll pray in the spirit. I'll pray in my natural language." It's your choice to do these things, and then to say, "I'm going to sing in the midst of the storm." And can I just say, I remember just the scripture, you guys remember, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we think about those low moments in our life when we're walking through a real trial, but we're walking through the shadow of death all the time here on earth. That's the stage we're in. We're walking in a storm all the time while we're here on earth. The game is on, and it doesn't end. In some ways, our enemy doesn't take a water break. It doesn't take any breaks. We just need to be, I just want to remind you that the game's still on. So this morning I woke up because the phone was ringing at about 5 a.m. And I kind of impressed myself because it only rang once. And I got to it. And that's, I'm not really a morning person. The older I get, the more I can boldly say that. I really like my mornings to be quiet, and sometimes my best sleep. But anyway, the phone rang, and the name came up, and it was Laura Clausen, and we've been praying for Dennis. He's been here a few times, and been fighting liver cancer, and the call came that the nurses said to come in, and he's in ICU in Fort Meade, and so I said, I'll be there in just a few minutes. So I've been there all this morning, being with them, and I was, you know, when I pray and believe, I'm just like you. I have hope, and I want to see victory. You know, it's like again back on the field of play. It's like I don't see the value of just playing. I mean, it's fun just to play. I got to admit, I whether I win, lose, or draw, I can't remember even if I won or lost. We play cards every Sunday afternoon. We never can remember who just won. But while we're in the game, I want to win. And I don't have an apology for that. I think we ought to go for the win. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible talks about being successful. Talks about winning. And so I headed to the hospital, and I just said, Lord, I've been really believing that liver would kick back in. But, you know, I really want to see Denny. He's a musician. He came up to the new church, I think, on Tuesday. Walked up there and just walked around and got to see it and talked to him and said, I'm really excited about you getting to play. You know, he's been in music all his life and get to play for the Lord. And I went to, you know, and it's not over yet. So maybe during the service, you know, just come back and the Lord will say, serve out your time. It's not your turn to come. But either way, I got to say, being with the family this morning was still a very special, honorable time, a great time of tears and prayers. And one of the greatest things that is, as Denny is, Denny got saved with Larry. Larry, you remember how old you were about? '20, '21, yeah. For some reason, you guys were at a Baptist service, I think. And I think it was a youth thing type thing that Danny kind of remembered. A lot of kids there. Anyway, the altar call came, and Larry and Danny and went forward. And if you don't know all of Larry's stories, get along with Lila sometime. Or ask Larry. Because it was the last week I was preaching on, some of my friends tried out right and run cops. And so afterwards, Larry shared about his three times or four or five, whatever. He tried to outrun cops, and he was not successful. but anyway, they've got a lot of stories. But Danny was telling me when I first met him, he said, Lila always just told me, he said, you got saved, and you're still saved. You can't get. And he said, well, I don't. All I know is, he said, something just compelled me to go forward. And as I was walking up, I was saying to myself, what am I doing? Why am I going for? What am I doing here? But he said, something inside me compelled me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The Holy Spirit compelling us to go see Jesus. And yet then the sense that, though, he's had a rough life. He's had a lot of stuff, a lot of things a lot of drugs, alcohol, a lot of problems, et cetera. And then with this, you know, diagnosis, his wife called me, and so we've been fellowshipping. Larry and Lila have been ministering to him for years. And one of the things is really, really awesome to see him come to a place of real peace that he knows he belongs to God. And I tell you, of all the victories you can have, there is nothing greater than knowing and being with somebody when they come to that incredible peace that their sins are forgiven and that the God really does love them. I still want him to rise up, finish course. At the same time, as we talk about VBS, there are a lot of people who are not going to be all that, you know, walk with God as well as God wants them to. In this lifetime, but thank God they're children of God, their names are written down, they've got all eternity ahead. So that's where that's at, and I was just thinking about how that all that ties together. So I want to bring out a few words. Atrophy is the first one. Atrophy, kind of an interesting thing. Sometimes when we're playing volleyball, we'll take a break, and I have to tell them, I said, listen, rigor mortis is starting to set in. We got to play again. Atrophy will set in. If I slow down, sometimes it's just. And so here's what atrophy means, a gradual wasting away. A gradual wasting or declining away. And if you look up the definition, it says sometimes due to lack of use. Isn't that the truth? Doesn't take long of not using something before it starts atrophying, or from nutrition, or from disease. Neurogenic atrophy is when your nerves aren't connecting very well. You know, I've had some problems with my neck and all that, but part of it, talking to a surgeon, he just said, man, when you know, your nerves have about three different things they do, and he said some, and one of them is if they're not connecting to the organ, that thing starts to go into atrophy. Your muscles, actually, I'm missing a few muscles right now because of a nerve out of my neck was not connecting to my hand. And tying all that together to our life of our spiritual life, again, if we. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciple. If you continue in my word, you'll bear fruit. And no longer, I mean, as again, back down to watching kids play and live, it's like you got to continue. And it's, to me, one of the heartbreaks in my life sometimes is to watch people, whether it's on the field or in the field of life, when you just see them quit. For whatever reason. And I remember my youngest son playing basketball in his last game, and he was making a great play. He was figured out how he could change what was going on, and he made about, 6 points, and the coach pulled him off. He said, you're not running the play. And I watched my son quit playing. His last game. One of my heartbreaks to this day. And I just, as I see young people out sometimes playing, you think, well, they just gave up. They just quit. And you don't know why they gave up. You don't know why they quit. Sometimes it's their own emotional thing. Once in a while, it's because they just don't care, whatever. But so often, I find some of the people that really do want to win and really do want to play, they don't show any body language that way. They don't show any verbal that way. But there's a turmoil going on inside, and they just quit. And I've seen the same thing with people in life, through a death of a family member, through just long periods of agony or disappointment or whatever else. And part of it just said atrophy will come because of a disease. And, it's interesting, but the word disease came from two words of die and ease, of being a lack of ease. I'm just going to throw this in because one of the things to really win, you have to stay in peace. You have to stay, you can't play the game just on nerves all the time. You have to stay in peace. I know when I play, even to this day sometimes when I first get on the field, I'm so nervous, my mouth just gets dry, I can't hardly breathe or whatever else until I was talking to Seth about it, until you get the first touch of the ball, whatever else, and you calm down. You got to have that ease. We got to live in peace to win. But then you also got to live with energy to go after it. And so things that can atrophy is your strength. And things that also that you can let go because of lack of use is the guarding and tending to your heart. You can lose virtue, which is just the God-given type of life of living with values. And then just endurance and sound-mindedness, several of these things. I want to focus a little bit on endurance. Remember our TNC days where we coined the word training never ceases. And no matter what age you are, I want to really emphasize this, no matter who you are, don't write yourself off that you can walk. It's not time to get off the playing field. Don't come off the playing field until you're in his presence. Fight, fight, fight. Don't let yourself be talked into any reason why you should just be settled and not continue to grow if you cease to be trained, your life flow will start diminishing immediately. If you think you don't need training, you don't need coaching anymore, you don't need encouragement anymore, you don't need more, you know, a lot of people say, why should I go to church? Well, be real honest with you, there's a whole lot of churches I wouldn't go to. That's enough said. I want to find a place that I don't look for a place that's perfect. I don't get to look because I've been called to this, so I don't get to go look. Thank God. But but if I was looking, I would look for a place that wasn't perfect, but people that were hungry and thirsty and open to the Spirit of God and trusted in the Word of God, but weren't, if I may say it this, weren't fanatics on one thing. That they didn't have their identity wrapped up in their doctrine and their particular thing. I'd look for just a group of people that were, and it would, if it's two or three, that would be a group for me. That'd be church. You know, there's a lot, I go to a lot, I guess I say I don't go, but I go to a lot of churches because all week long I just meet, you know, be with a few people that are hungry and thirsty for God, and that's church. That's the gathering of saints to go, and it helps me grow. And all week long, I mean, the amount of, you know, I have to admit, the amount of coaching I get during the week is humongous, because so many people call me to talk to me, whatever else, and then they coach me, and they don't even know they're doing it. They're just fellowshipping with me and sharing what the Lord is sharing, but it always is ministering to me. So, again, when you cease the attitude of being hungry, wanting to grow, wanting to continue to press on, is the time that your life flow will begin to diminish. So take courage, endurance. So here's a few scriptures on endurance. It says, yet not a hair on your head will perish, but by endurance you will gain your lives. Jesus said this, and when he said lives, he actually said you'll gain your soul. So it's not just your life in Christ, you know, as far as being born again. He's just saying, he said, by your endurance, you'll gain your soul, your psuche, your will to live, your emotions, your wisdom and all that. So, just to settle it, endurance is a huge thing. What is endurance? Well, the Greek word there is, it means to remain. Actually, the actual word was used, you know, when Jesus stayed in the temple, this is the word that was used. It wasn't translated endurance, it was translated remain, but he stayed. He stayed with the, you know, in the temple. But let me read this to you. It says, to remain, to abide, not recede, but persevere, under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ, to endure, to bear bravely and calmly in ill treatments. And even carries over, you know, one of the things in the Greek, there's several different forms of this word, but hupomone is one. And it means to press on cheerfully. Now, every once in a while, I've been pretty good at pressing on. Sometimes I haven't been so good about the cheerful part. But just to press on cheerfully. And you think about that, even watching kids play. Sometimes they're losing, and it's like, but it's fun to see a team that even though they're behind, they press on with cheerfulness. And I do notice, you know, sometimes after they make a goal, you can just see the whole team start changing because, oh, we got hope again, you know. Man, you gotta have that hope, don't you? When everybody's dropping their heads down and, you know, and dragging their feet and doing all that, you just thought, no, you can't win doing that. You got to lift up your head. You got to say, this is fun. You got to say, this is my challenge. And it's the same for no matter who we are in this room right now. It's the same for you and I both. We need to lift up our heads and say, I want to live. And I want to go for it. And I don't want to back off. You know, sometimes we're so afraid of success or afraid of failure, we just lock up and don't do anything. So Jesus said this in Matthew. He says, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So until this thing, until God calls again, we are to endure, we're to press on, and we're to do it cheerfully. And actually, you know, the fun thing is when you get a team going with that hoopamony, that endurance with cheerfulness, whether they lose or not, it is a great experience. But isn't it wonderful to see the comebacks in a team that all of a sudden you saw them dragging their feet and holding their heads down, and all of a sudden somebody, I used to say it this way, you know, concerning like basketball especially, I said, man, when somebody lays the skin on the floor, when they die for the ball to save it, to get some, and you can hear that skin, and you just know they left it on the floor. So often that is the turning point for the whole team to say, we need to rise up. And boy, when they do, miracles happen. Winds come out of ashes that we, you know, wouldn't think would ever win. So I want to go to Romans now. Don't take me to notes. Take me. There we go. Romans 8 chapter. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? You know, there's a real paradox in this. Forgive me, but it's like when you have hope, you're hoping for something that you can't see in the natural. But what's beautiful about walking with God is you start seeing it in your heart. And that's when you take hope. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. The transition from hope to faith is when in your heart you see it, but it's still not, you're still not seeing it in the natural. But in your heart, in your spirit, you know it's now there. But I'm not teaching on that today. Verse 25 says, but if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. And there's that word perseverance, that we remain and we press on cheerfully. Verse 26, in the same way, and I've always thought this was a, this one always gets me, in the same way. In the same way of what? What are we I don't know, maybe you have a lot more insight. I'm starting to see a little bit clearer here, but he goes, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, there's a lot to be, a lot of viewpoints that we could have on this. Let me just share a few of mine, is that in the same way, God is, and Paul here is trying to express something about, to me, about the partnership we have with God. I don't really take this that the Spirit prays for us. You know, Jesus is interceding for us. But this, I believe he's talking about, is a partnership. A koinonia in the Greek. Of you and the Holy Spirit working together. So a lot of people teach that this is talking about praying in tongues. And I believe that's true. When you pray in other tongues, what you're doing is it's your heart and your soul and your body and your mind and your choice and your spirit joining up with the Holy Spirit that's inside you and together praying. He's helping you. He comes alongside. The word means to come alongside and help bear up. He comes alongside and helps you, but you are still the one praying. The words are coming out of your mouth. And Paul says, I'll pray in the Spirit, and I'll pray with my mind. You get to do both, and they're both very valuable. And there's times that I think most of you have probably experienced. Sometimes in prayer, and you'll just find yourself moaning, just deep felt feelings inside. And that's what I believe Paul is talking about here, that he comes alongside. You know, there's times I just go to God and say, man, I've been really, we've been praying for this, really believing for this, you know, what's going on? And I'm always reminded that what Jody's been sharing, and it's never just him, and it's never just you. It's always the two working together. That's the beautiful thing about Christ. It is always the two. You are now filled with the Holy Ghost. You are now partners. You are now one in Christ, and it's together. Jesus said this, you know, the eternal life is knowing him, and that word is gnosko, and it's like the word we use for carnal knowledge for a husband and wife. It's intimacy. It's becoming one together. That is the gospel, that Christ comes into you, and you and him do it together. And so that's what he's referring to. In the same way, the Spirit comes alongside and helps. And verse 28 goes on to say this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Now, this has been debated and argued in so many doctrinal issues and churches. And, you know, that means every bad thing that ever happened to you was God's plan. And I really don't want to just address that. I want to really kind of just come back and just say what I believe it's saying. It says, and we know that God causes all things to work together. That's actually just one Greek word, that whole sentence, that causes all things to work together. Let me read you part, if I can find my notes here. To work together, help in work, to partner, to put forth power together with, and thereby assist. Again, the Holy Spirit comes in with you, and he puts forth power, with your will, with your heart, with your faith, with your hope, and together, it all works for good. I hate to see people get so distracted on this verse that they just try to debate whether or not it means bad things, or they, you know, it's just like that becomes debate. And I think they're missing the whole point. In context with everything he's saying, he says, this is something we know, that God comes alongside with you, with his power, and hooks up with yours, hooks up with your desires, and places his desires inside us, and together they all start working together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purposes. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? One of the most fundamental things that's going to cause our lives to be full and rich and in line with his purpose, which is always good, is your core belief system inside you about who God's nature is. And when we sing the songs, we've sang them today, we've ministered on this all the time, but I can't overemphasize this. You know, so often, again, going back to sports or music or anything you're trying to learn in, I tell you, it's always the basics that you master that cause you to be phenomenal, never the fancy little tricks. The fancy little tricks on sports or guitar or whatever else, those are really fun, but you take a true musician, they're doing basic scales on the piano every morning. There's just doing the basics solidly is what brings all the fun and the glory and the beautifulness of it. But if you don't have the foundation right, then the rest of it is just sometimes just really like smoke for a little bit and then gone and nothing left, no substance left. And what is the foundation of our faith? What is the foundation of our walking with God? I believe one of the most powerful or most the foundational stones, Jesus being the cornerstone, is that he is good all the time. You know, but you make the little bumper sticker cliches, and sometimes that diminishes it for me, but it doesn't take away from the real truth. God is for us. He's always for us. He's always for our good. He's always for our success. He's always for life. We have an enemy. He's always for death. He's always for destruction. He's always for discouragement. Our God is always for encouragement. He's always for the win. He's always for the peace. He's always for the joy in everything, and always, all of it working together. And boy, you know, one of the things it says, all these things work together. There's a lot of things that are working on our behalf. Amen. The name of Jesus is above every name. Praise God. When you're born again, you become a whole new creature, and all things have passed away. New things have come, and these things are from God. And those things are the authority that you have being a child of God. These things are the wisdom. You have the mind of Christ. The Bible says that even though your outer man is decaying, we don't renounce that. We don't deny that. But it says, but every cell in your body can be quickened by the Spirit of God inside of you. All these things are working together. The body of Christ interceding for one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. And Paul said, pray for me that the doors be open. Pray for me that I'll be protected on this trip. And I'm praying for you that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, that you may see the depth and the length and the height and the width of all the goodness of God. And so why was Paul praying that? Why do we talk about that? Because all these things working together is for the win. And if you have doubt in that area, if you don't believe that, do you realize how difficult it is? You know, one of the things I read years ago, back in the 90s, I saw an article that says, from drinking carrot juice to chemotherapy, what people who get healed of cancer, what they all have in common. And I thought, I got to read this. They said like three things are in common. I love their way they try to get you to read things. And it works, because I went and read it. But I thought, what common things would we have with chemotherapy, surgery, carrot juice, and, you know, and nutrition and all that? And they said, if I remember right, I haven't pulled this up for a while. Said, number one, they believe what they're doing will work. And number two, the doctor or the people around them believe that it's going to work. And the family believe it's going to work. It all came down. What was common was the general attitude of the whole people around you that this is going to work. The hope, the faith. And they said, when those are in place, they've seen healing from about every avenue. And I thought, man, there's some real wisdom in that, isn't there? Unity, hope, faith, endurance, perseverance. And so from now until we take our last breath, take courage. You know, as I walked off that soccer field, I thought about it all weekend, because I was having, I know you do, but let me encourage you. Your relationship with Jesus is the most important thing you got in life, and there should be nobody or nothing ever get close to how important that is to you. Don't let anybody get near that. Not your wife, not your pastor, not your husband, not your kids, and no doctor, nothing. Be resolved that this is between you and God. And I tell you, all the other relationships will be so much better and good if your first relationship, your first love with Jesus, and there ain't nobody touching that. They can encourage you, they can help you, but nobody. If you ever feel like, you know, a man you've been picked on or a victim, you need to really take your sword out and do some real ugly battle. You are not a victim, you're a victor. And it's just you and Jesus can do it all. Amen? He's the source. He's God. That's what it means to have no other gods before you. Have no other source but Him. When people say, well, you just hurt me. You just really hurt. Man, don't ever say that. Man, please don't say that out of your mouth. If none go with me, me and Jesus, we're going to party all the way. Have that right, man. I've said it before, but if I'm trying to prepare every one of us for the day we depart from this earth. That is the most, that's the best, that is the preparation of everything, you know. Well, I like my kids to be in sports. It prepares them for life. Let me tell you what. What prepares you in life is preparing for your last breath. That when you take it, He's right there with you, beside you, and you're at peace with Him. And it's pretty cool to see Danny. I believe he's in that place right now. It's a good encouragement for all of us. But until you take your last breath, stay under training. Stay under command. You're going to slip. Listen, we all have our moments where we get busy and the daily cares of life start choking the Word of God out of our life. That is going to happen to all of us. It is all you always need to be renewing. You need to be around something that fires you back up again. You know, I was talking to the Lord, just joking with Him a little bit, because if He's going to be my friend, He's got to be able to joke, right? And I find God is more sarcastic than I am, and I'm pretty sarcastic. If you let Him have His humor, He can really make you, He can twist your head sometimes. But I just said, you know, help me. I grow weary. I get tired. Now, I can kind of justify that those little kids, you know, in their prime of their life, they don't need to walk off the field, and they don't need to get discouraged. They need to fire up, and they got all the energy they need to do it. But God said, well, you're no different. In light of eternity, you're just a baby. Fire up. And I said, but I do. I actually do want to walk off the field sometimes and just go sit down. And I said, I need to be restored. And He said, well, what do you do to get restored? I said, I said, I come to you. And He said, and what did I say I would do? He said, I said, you would give me rest. And I wanted to kind of mouth off to Him, and I did. Then how come I'm so tired? Because I'm coming to you. He said, persevere, son. Persevere. Don't back off. Don't give up. Lift up your head. Find some joy. And I found a bluebird's nest and listened to the little ones squawking, and I go, life's good. All things are working together for my good. We're gonna finish strong, amen. We're not going to back off. For the sake of children to come, yes. For our sake, yes. We are valuable to God, each and every one of us. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. I say that every time, and I see Richard standing. Hallelujah. I love a good comeback, don't you? Praise God. And he came back. The prodigal son has returned. And how many, several hundred people have been saved, haven't they, Enrico? Man, several hundred people have been saved. Little known how the impact. We're not done. Thank you, Father. Let's just worship the Lord together. Father, we want to just take the time to say how much we love you, how much we're going to confess out of our mouth what we believe in our heart, that you are our God. And there is no other. And that we trust you, and that you are good, and that you're always for us. And therefore, if you're always for us, you're always for other people. So we joined you in partnership of coming alongside other people We come alongside Danny right now, Lord Jesus. And we just declare you are his Lord, you are his master, you are his father. He received you a long time ago, but he didn't take that opportunity to grow in grace and the knowledge of God. But now towards the end, he has reconnected with you, so to speak. And that nerve connection is hooked back up, and we're declaring strength. We're declaring victory. We're declaring peace. We're declaring miraculous victory. More than an overcomer. And whether he goes home with you today or is totally, his body is just comes alive and he serves out another decade or two, we consider it victory in Christ. You always lead us in triumph. You always are there for us. You never fail us. You never give up on us. You're always the partner with us. And Lord, we just let your spirit right now encourage ourselves that we rise up too now. We lift up our heads. We hear the voice of our coach saying, get up! Take what you got and work it. Pour it out, and I'll pour in new. I'll pour in new wine. Father, we are here today in a real experience with you. Fill us with your spirit anew. And thank you, thank you, thank you that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and will never be blotted out. In our weakness and our strength and our victories or whatever, our failures, whatever, that will never be changed. We are now your children and forever will be. And I believe today, Father, we all just want to say we're headed back out on the field with a good attitude. Amen? Amen. All right, have a great week.